well. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. What a tremendous blessing that was. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 21, Matthew chapter 21, we're going to be reading verse 12 down to verse 16 this morning. Matthew chapter 21 is the second time the Lord Jesus Christ would purify the temple. And so if you would, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. Verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea. Have you never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we bow before you again. We thank you for what we've already experienced, just being in this place. Thank you for the blessings. Now, as we've opened up your holy word that you preserve for us so we might know the very mind of God, pray that you would, Lord, give us all that ear to hear what you have to say to us. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The purification of the place where God would meet with his children. Old Testament. And then as we go into what Jesus was establishing when he was here on this earth some 2,000 years ago, the New Testament church. Jesus, at this particular time, would be preparing the people for this New Testament assembling of his church. Now, we find over in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 3, Paul writes to Timothy, gives the qualifications for the positions, the offices in the church. But then he says this in verse 15. He says that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We understand that. Where God will meet with us, Old Testament was a temple. They went there to meet with God and understand it would represent the pillar and the ground of truth. New Testament, Jesus established his local called out assembly, the church, where we are to assemble and we are to receive the truth from God. But we find here something that the chief priests and the scribes, those that even opposed Jesus Christ, what Matthew would write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God was, and when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did. You see, the church is to be a place, the place, for wonderful things take place. And I believe they have been for some 2,000 years, all around the world. The church, the place where wonderful things take place. The first thing that had to be done that Jesus has recorded for us that we might understand is the purification. Because he would need to establish what his church was to be. He would say in verse 13, and he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. The church is to be called the house of prayer, a spiritual place. We stop and think about a house of prayer. That's something. Prayer is where communication with God takes place. Now, we can pray on our own. We can pray wherever. We can pray, and we're encouraged to pray without ceasing. That's always being aware of the presence of God. We're encouraged to pray. The Bible says men ought always to pray and not to faint. But the main purpose as we come into the house of God is that which is of a spiritual means. That which is communication with God. Now stop and think about that. I mean, God designed it. Old Testament and then New Testament Christianity. And it's been around for some 2,000 years. And there's been wonderful things that have taken place in God's church as people come to his church to be able to communicate with him, to worship him in spirit and truth, and receive what God has for them through the messages that are being presented within his church. It's a wonderful thing to experience communication with God. Anyone that's experienced actual communication with God, when you know God is speaking to you, whether it is through a congregational song, can I tell you, I've seen hands raised and people shout saying praise God because of a congregational song, because everything that we sing in the church has a biblical message to it. The songs that we choose to sing, and that's our music director, and we pray for them, and we pray that he would make sure that he has the time spent in preparing for every service, that when we sing congregational songs, there's the message that is going to be given to all that are in the church. When those who stand to sing specials in the church, no doubt they have prayed and they have sought God's will concerning Sunday night or Wednesday night. If they're going to be singing a special, then they are going to be presenting a message in communication with God to the people. There's no doubt if it's me preaching behind this podium or whoever might be preaching or teaching behind this podium has spent time making sure that they have studied the Word of God and received the Word of God and are ready to present the words of God to whoever might be here. And that's communication with God. And it's a wonderful thing. Whether you come out of your prayer closet and you know that God has done something for you and given you a peace, that given you grace, given you strength, it's a wonderful thing to communicate with God. Yeah. But before it could happen in the house of prayer, Jesus had to get rid of some things that would hinder communication with God. And the enemy to the will of God, and you study the Testament, the Bible, is the world, the ways of the world, the thoughts of the world, the flesh, which is something that every individual has to control. That's what's going on in your mind, your thinking, your heart, what you yield yourself to. You have to control that, especially when you come to the house of God. You have to block out any distractions that you might have from within you so that you might prepare yourself to receive. And what's behind all of it is the devil. He works through the world and he works through the flesh. But it's a spiritual battle. You can't see him, but he is the hindrance to all spiritual activity. He's the enemy. And Jesus went into the temple knowing that they had made it a den of thieves. Even the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, were actually getting kickback from allowing those to sell to the parishioners who might come in to want to sacrifice and to make it more convenient and make money and all the different things that were taking place. And that was never God's intent. House of God is to be the house of prayer, where the main emphasis is on communication with God. And when that takes place, it's a wonderful thing. The Bible says over in the book of 2 Corinthians, and let me just read this to you, 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, as Paul is writing to the church there at Corinth, and he says to them in verse 17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be a separate." When you come into the assembly of God, when you come into the church, you come out from the world and you come out from the things of the world and you separate yourself, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing or the things of this world, the sins of this world, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You'll have a family. It'll be like the house of the Lord, the family of God when you come together. And it will be a wonderful thing when you come together in this manner, separating yourselves from the world and coming into an environment that is designed to worship God the way God has designed it. See, attending Christ's church ought to be different than any other place. You've heard me say this before, but I think we're losing sight of that, even families. I remember my mom and dad, they used to have given me church clothes. And I couldn't wear those any other time. I had my play clothes, I had school clothes, but they bought me church clothes to make me think of the church was different. Even though I would want to wear, because that was usually my best clothes. I'm thinking, I need to try to impress this girl at school. And no, those are not for school. They're not for you to go out and run around in. Those are your church clothes. When you go to church, you can wear those clothes. What was that doing? What was that doing for me? Made me think, church must be special. Church must be a different place than any other place that I go. How many of you had church clothes when you look at that all around? I don't want you to raise your hand, but I wonder how many have church clothes today. Just a sign of the times. We don't need to diminish. A church is where wonderful things take place if it is run according to the will of God. See, we don't want to borrow from the world. We don't need the world's music. We don't want the world's music when we're in church. I don't want you to be reminded of a place in the world and you hear the music. And you open up your heart and your mind to receive the blessings of God through that music. We don't need to borrow from the world. We need to get the world, keep the world out of the church. Make the church a special place. Different than any other place. It's a place where wonderful things ought to take place. Go back to with our text here this morning. As we look back to Matthew chapter 21, Jesus came knowing what they had made it, and he wanted to overthrow that, and he wanted to reestablish what the church is to be. It's a house of prayer. It's a place where you communicate with God, and God communicates with you. And when that took place in verse 14, the Bible says, and the blind and the lame came. Now, I love this. This is Bible. This is the Lord preserving this for us, doing this, knowing that this would be a part of New Testament church until he returns. Those who came in were seeking. They weren't seeking the world. They were seeking God to do something that only God could do. Blind and the lame. As we look to this even today, not necessarily physical blindness or spirit or physical being lame, but spiritual. To open people's spiritual sight is a wonderful thing. To see people get saved. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Now, I had planned on singing that before. It was a main thought and theme of the music this morning. And I'm sitting up here knowing that. I'm thinking, thank you, Lord. Confirmation that God is in this thing. And I experience that all the time. What a blessing it is when you can just sense the presence of God and you can see the hand of God as he works. We don't talk about, I don't tell people what I'm going to preach. I don't talk about what music I want. Not, I might, there's nothing wrong with it, but I've not done that. God does that. There's wonderful things to take place when your spiritual eyes are opened to see yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior. It's a wonderful thing when you come to this altar and you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Yeah. It's a wonderful thing for people to come whose walk is not going anywhere. Like the lame who can't walk. So you spiritualize that. The understanding is coming in, your life is going nowhere. You're wondering if it's worth living. You're filled with anxieties. I don't know that I've ever experienced a time in my lifetime when there's been so much of this taking place. It's a wonderful thing when you have purpose for living. Romans in chapter 6, let me read a couple verses to you here. Write them down. I want you to study them. In Romans in chapter 6, verse 4, it says this, Paul writing, therefore, we are buried with him, Christ, by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When somebody gets saved, that's a hallelujah, praise the Lord, that's a wonderful thing. But then when somebody comes and rededicates a life, or somebody comes wants to change their lifestyle and they want to start living for God, can I tell you, that's a wonderful thing as well, when people's lives are turned around and they are worth living. See, baptism is not salvation. Baptism allows you to identify with Jesus Christ and his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And when you identify publicly with Jesus Christ, you're saying, I want to follow him. I want to identify my walk with him. And it's a walk in newness of life. When you start understanding that God has a purpose for your being here and your life is meaningful, it matters. It's a wonderful thing. Have a purpose for living. Yeah. Galatians in chapter 5. In Galatians in chapter 5 and verse 16, here again, this very same thought that Paul writing to the church at Galatia, the believers there in Galatia, he says in chapter 5 and verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you overcome the lust of the flesh, when you overcome the pride of life and you surrender your walk to the Spirit of God that now lives and dwells within you as a born-again believer, that's a wonderful thing. And that's what happens in the church. It's a wonderful thing to see those seeking God, whether they be blind or whether they be lame. It's a wonderful thing. Back in our text, we continue on in studying what we have written down here for us in verse 15 and 16. Then the Bible says, and when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. See, in the church, Jesus was being acknowledged and praised by the children. I don't know about, that's a wonderful thing. To see children singing praises unto the Lord, quoting verses before they can even read. But not all are pleased with children acknowledging Jesus. The Bible says that they were sore displeased. Who were they? The same ones that would be sore displeased today. Unbelievers. The lost, who have their own agenda for society, who don't want to remember where as a nation we came from. Those who want what Jesus opposed. Those who want what Jesus opposed are known as Antichrist. Now, they don't see themselves as Antichrist. They don't even present themselves. And a lot of the world won't see that either. They're just somebody with a different point of view. I don't want my children to take the world's point of view on anything. I want my children to know who God is. I want my children to understand the importance of church. I want my children to understand the church is a special place where they can learn the pillar and the ground of truth. Every generation has been tested. Every generation's had the Word of God. Past generations have lived and they've died. And where they're at right now, where they're going to be continuing to spend eternity will be determined by what they did with Jesus. That's the same today. It will continue to be the same until Christ returns for the church. What they do with Jesus. If Satan can keep them from learning of Jesus and worshiping him and crying out, Hosanna, he will change the direction of that individual. Not all will praise God, nor want children to. The Bible reveals that over in the book of Psalms in chapter 115. And again, just write these verses down. I want you to do that and study them afterwards. But in Psalms in 115, chapter 115, the Bible says in verse 13, He will bless them that fear the Lord. God's blessings are upon them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Fearing God is reverencing God, acknowledging who Jesus is. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You can have the blessings of God as you acknowledge God and you worship Him and praise Him. The heavens. The heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's. But the earth hath He given to the children of men. Every generation. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise ye the Lord. The dead praise not the Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 1 that the lost are dead in their trespasses and sins. The dead are those that do not believe in God, that do not want to worship God, that do not want to establish godly principles in their lives. The dead praise not the Lord. I don't know just where the world's going to go. I mean, I do know, but the Bible tells us things will get worse and worse, and there's going to be more and more antichrist when it comes, and all the different things. But what I'm thankful for is Jesus has established His church. And He promises the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the church is a place where children can learn who He is and to praise Him. Praise God for that. Jesus was so pleased that He quoted Psalms 8 and verse 2 when He says, Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? Because that pleases God. He was so pleased with the children acknowledging Him and praising Him, because that's perfect praise. A childlike praise. Now what's He talking? He's talking about babes and suckling. No acts of sin to hinder their acknowledgement of God, their praise of God. Innocent, pure, righteous. That is perfected praise. Can I tell you that we cannot praise God living in sin? We cannot truly praise God if we don't know who God is. We cannot praise God and receive the benefits of praising God if we are not from our hearts desiring a communication with God. The most important time and the best place to praise God from is after the cleansing and the washing of sin, to where you have a right spirit, a right heart. We confess and forsake our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we have been cleansed, there's an opportunity for perfect praise. It's not being hindered by sin. Matthew chapter 21, go back there with me. I want to show you something else here, because Jesus was being acknowledged and praised by the children. It was so pleased that he quoted Psalms chapter 8 and verse 2. But where did they get that from? Before Jesus would come to the temple and cleanse the temple, outside of the temple, on the way in chapter 21 and verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way." This was prophesied that this would take place, and they are acknowledging him as the Messiah. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Now the parents were there doing that. The parents of the children. And when the children seen Jesus come into the temple, because of the influence of the parents on their lives, the children cried out, "Hosanna." See, children will either learn to pray and praise, or they'll learn to curse and swear. One of the most disheartening things that I possibly come across is young people cursing and swearing without any understanding of why it's wrong. We bring in children from the bus ministries that's all they're around all the time, and we have to help them to understand that, no, it's not allowed. And there's a reason it's not allowed. It's not of God. It's not what God can bless. And we try to help them, and we try to help them to see Christ and understand there's a different way to live. And you start seeing children singing praise unto the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. Especially when you see a world of lost children that are nothing, going in a direction that's far beyond what they even realize and where it's going to take them. It's a wonderful thing to see children praising Jesus. They are the future, church. Those that are the adults that are in this auditorium here this morning, several of you raised your hand to say you had church clothes. Whether understanding or not, it's because your parents wanted to help you to understand church is a special place. The worship of God is a special thing. The praise of God is needed in our lives. Where will the next generation be? Where will their children be? I trust we're doing what God would have us to do. Now, I trust the even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. But until that time, and as long as we can, we have to make sure The church is the house of prayer. Because when it is the house of prayer, wonderful things will take place. If I could have every head bowed this morning and every close. Sometimes we lose sight of how important it is to be in church, how important it is to bring our children to church. We face some tough times. It's a time to spend more time at church instead of less time at church. It's the time to communicate more with God than less time with God. It's time to come with expectations of God, to see God work in our midst. The house of prayer, where wonderful things take place. Father, we bow before you this morning. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of this cleansing of the temple. And God, just how it even impacts our lives today and how important it is for us to be aware of what Jesus was establishing here for us even today. I pray this morning, God, that there might be somebody whose eyes were open to their own need of salvation. And we would experience once again a wonderful thing in someone coming to Jesus and receiving him as their Lord and Savior. There might be some here that just need to have purpose of life. They come to you to be able to have a newness of walk. Whatever the need is, I pray, God, as they look to you, that you would minister to that need and meet that need. Bless in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.